Welcome to the Washington Church Toledo podcast. Together, we are learning to encourage one another to walk with God through cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. This podcast consists of recordings from our Sunday morning worship services and other teaching events that you are more than welcome to come join us live at.
All right, we're in John. So 1 John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. We're in verse 16. We're looking at 16, 17, and 18. I just want to share some insights in this, and then we're going to spend some time praying together, praying as individuals, and then I'm going to have you guys pray together, and I know that can be scary for some, and that's okay, so I'm giving you a heads up. So if you need to leave, it'll be at the end. I get it, I'm just going to teach a little bit, and then we're going to stop, and then I'm going to invite you to come before the Lord and ask him to speak to you. And what I want to tell you this morning is that God is going to speak to you this morning, because that's what God does. We have a God that loves his people, that wants an interactive, real relationship with them, and we have a God who still speaks. And so we're going to pause, we're going to ask the Lord to speak to us around something, just between you and God. And then I'm going to teach a little bit more. And then at the end, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to come before the Lord, and we're going to ask him to speak to us around another topic. And those things will be interrelated. And then after that, we're going to pray with one another. We're going to get into groups and pray with what comes forward and what God speaks to us. And then we're going to take communion together in those groups that you pray with. So that's kind of how it's going to be from here. And then Bridget's going to sing a song, and we're going to be done. From here to the end. Okay, this is what God's word said. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. One of God's greatest desires for humanity, for you, for me, is that his love would be perfected in you. That's no small feat. That's a pretty major thing. And so as we listen, and as we listen to the scriptures, and we listen to the teaching, and as we come before the Lord, I want you to know that that's what we're after. That's where God's heart is. He literally wants his love to be perfected in you. And one of the major obstacles that we need to get over in order to get to that place is how we view ourselves. Because many of us don't feel like we're worthy of being loved by God, or worthy of being loved by anybody. And that's just not true. The truth is that God is love. That's what John says in verse 16. He says that God is love. And there's different types of love. There's different understandings of love. And we use this word very casually in English, because I could tell you that if I brought you to my house, and right now it's stored in the back, but if I pulled out my old 74 motorcycle, I would say, man, I love that thing. And it's true, I do. I love it. I enjoy it. I enjoy riding it. It's coming out soon, and I'm getting excited. The sun's coming out, and it's getting warm. Praise Jesus. But I would also tell you that I love my wife, right? And if you didn't know any different, or you didn't kind of hear the inflection or whatever it was, you would think, wow, he cares just as much about his bike as he does his wife. That's a really strange person. Or you might think, wow, he's pretty normal. But we don't have a different way of saying the word love in English. And so in Greek, they have different variants. They have different words to describe love. And the most common ones you've probably heard before, but I'll just go over them again. Philia. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? Philia means brotherly love, okay? To love, the love we have towards a brother, a comrade, a connection, a friendship. It's beautiful. Then we have eros. Eros is an erotic love. It's a sexual love. It's an intimate love for those who are connected with each other, and it is a passionate love. Okay, then we have storge. That's another form of love that's less heard about. And then finally, the fourth love is agape. And agape is the love that in the Greek culture, when the writers of the New Testament are writing, they attribute this type of love to God, to the divine. And this is one of the main ways that they describe God, that God is the one who loves, because agape love has no limits. It's unconditional. It no matter what happens, that love doesn't change, it doesn't shift, it doesn't go away. And that there's nothing that you can do or anybody can do that's bad enough or worse enough to make that love stop flowing or moving. And we don't get that as people, because nobody loves us that way in real life. So it's hard for us to embrace that and actually believe that that's true. But that's actually the love that John uses here when he describes God. And literally he says, God is love. God is that agape love that is unconditional, never ending, and there's literally nothing you can do to change it. Amen? And so when John says that, he says, hey, by the way, you need to know this, that God is love. So let's put verse 16 up there. You see him, he says this, okay? That God is love, that short little verse, okay? If you struggle with memorizing scripture, this is a great one to start with, okay? Just that little bit. God is love, 1 John 4:16. Carry that around with you for the rest of your life. And then he goes on to say this, whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them, okay? Now I need my volunteer who's willing to drink some tea. Anybody? All right, come on up. All right, as Tiffany's coming up, all right, go ahead and open all the tea bags and put one in each cup. And then you're going to fill, here's water. You're going to use this hot water to fill. This is perfect because she helps serve coffee in the morning, so she knows how these things work. I think you're supposed to, Susie told me I had to press this button. Oh, no, just like that. There you go. You got it. Okay, do you have your phone? Oh, you can borrow mine. Here. Okay, we need a timer. All right, here we go. There's the timer. Hopefully it doesn't turn off. All right, you ready? So start filling. We'll start filling, yep. And she's a teacher, so she knows illustrations and things of this nature. Okay, so I'm going to start this timer. When we get to 30 seconds, stop me. We got to wait till you fill that one up, then we'll get to 30 seconds. All right, ready? Okay. At 30 seconds, hit stop, and we'll try out. We'll see how it is. So this word, go ahead and put the verse back up there. This word that the translators in NIV are saying things like lives in love, lives in God, God in them. The word that is used here is John, one of John's favorite words, and it's becoming one of my favorite words. It's the word meneo, which means to remain. And we've talked about this before because it comes up over and over again. The best illustration of remain. Are you ready? Okay. So what I want you to do is it might be too hot though. All right, so we're going to try. Go ahead and take the tea bag out. And we're going to try the first one. What's it taste like?
A little bit of lemon, just a little.
But pretty much water?
Pretty much water.
Okay, perfect. All right, we'll go back to a minute now. Ready? Yep. All right. But this word remain, the best way to describe it is in John chapter 15, where he talks about the vine and the branches, right? And probably that one of the best definitions of remain is to sit, to dwell, to be, or to rest. And John is saying you need to rest. Whoever rests or remains in love lives or remains in God. And God remains in them. Okay, do you see this interwoven connectedness between God and between love and between us and love and us and rest? Okay? You ready?
Mostly just water.
Okay. A little more lemon. Still after a minute? Perfect. All right, we'll keep going. And so there's a vital importance and crucialness here that John is trying to communicate. He's saying, hey, the key to this whole thing is understanding first and foremost that God is love. And that's something we need to work on. If you see God primarily as anything else but love, you got to reframe your lens. Because this is literally how God is asking his people to see him. First and foremost, through love, period. There's so many different things that we could describe as God: holy, just, merciful, righteous. All those things are true. But he says, love is my primary way I want to be seen. And love is the primary way I want to be experienced. And he says there's a direct correlation between how we live our lives and how we experience him and how we love. And the key to that is this idea of remaining. Does that make sense? You track it with me? Or you just want to see what Tiffany has to say next? Or a little bit of both? Okay? Are we there yet? Okay, perfect. 2 minutes.
A lot more lemon, better flavor, not as much water.
So of the three, which one would you pick?
2 minutes.
Okay, all right. Okay, now we're on to 4 minutes, so that means I got 2 minutes. Here we go. One of the important things about this is that this idea of remaining or meneo is an experiential aspect. You can learn as much as you want about love and God and remaining, and it won't change you much at all. But when you begin to experience this on a personal and intimate level, it'll radically transform who you are. I was meeting with a good friend of mine on Friday afternoon, and he came and visited with me. And it's always good to meet with people who are farther along than you are and just be with them and talk to them. And we were sharing stories and movements of God and things we were learning and ways that God was moving in our lives. And I was sharing with him the desire to deepen it and go farther. And he says to me, he says, Jimmy, how long are you spending with the Lord each day? And I was like, this is a great question. He's like, I mean, like, set aside intimate, deep time where there's nothing else going on and it's just you and God and you're just hanging out together and you're worshiping and you're sitting and you're quiet and you're just letting God speak to you or do whatever he wants to do in that space. And I said, I've cultivated a space and every day I come before the Lord for at least 30 minutes. And he goes, that's good. He's like, but what you're talking about and what you want to see God do, he's like, you need to go to 2 hours. And I was like, how am I going to go to 2 hours? I'm thinking to myself in my mind, I was like, where am I going to find 2 hours in each day? And then I said to him, I was like, where do you find 2 hours in each day? He's like, oh, it's easy. God will wake you up at 4 a.m. or 2 a.m. or whatever. And I was like, okay. I literally rolled over yesterday and I looked at my clock. It was 4 something. And I was like, not yet, Lord. Not yet. Not yet. I'm getting there, but not yet. We ready? Okay. Same tea bag, same water, 4 minutes in.
By far the best. Yes, much more flavor.
So what's happened? So we started at 30 seconds. Then we did a minute, then we did 2 minutes, and then 4 minutes. What would you say the difference between 30 seconds and 4 minutes is?
3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Ha, 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 ha. How about in the taste of the tea?
The 30 seconds is just basically water, and the 4 minutes is lemon.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Absolutely. So all that to say, the longer you hang out with the Lord, you start to change, right? What was once water becomes this flavor. And almost like the water disappears and the flavor begins to take over. And as you know, if you're a tea person, if you leave it in too long, it's like so much flavor gets so intense, right? And so it's important. The more we spend time with the Lord, the deeper we go into that. That's remaining. When you carve out time in your life, and we're all busy, but we all have the same amount of time at the same point. And we get to choose. What do we do with that time? So there's an invitation for each and every one of us to spend more time remaining in the love of God. When we spend that time, we are literally soaking ourselves in the love of God. And it begins to change us everywhere. It changes how we think. It changes how we see. It changes how we react. It changes how we love others. Because what happens is it begins to saturate us to this deeper place. And now what begins to come, now we don't taste the same anymore. When we go out into the world, when we have conversations, people don't, when they see us, they see something different because we've been remaining in the love of God. And he goes on to talk about in verse 17 that it's made complete. The love of God is made complete in us. That is a mind-blowing idea. And one of the things I love about this, in the Greek, this word shows up. It's in the perfect passive form. So, which perfect is one of my favorite forms, is very rare in the Greek. It means that something that has happened, but something that continues to happen on. And passive is something that happens to you. Active is something you do. So it's something that's happened to you and something that continues to happen on, but it actually is happening to you. So I think what John is trying to say is when you put yourself in a place where you're remaining, when you're menoing with God, the love of God is transforming you just being in that space. You don't have to try. You don't have to work. You just have to be. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's so countercultural to us because everything that we think, especially in America, you have to work for, strive for, get better at, achieve. And in that achieving, you get response and acolytes and people praise you and think you're better at something. But here, God is saying, no. Actually, I want you to come to me and just rest and be. And that's where the greatest transformation and change happens. It's the Mary and the Martha story. So this is what we're going to do. We're just going to take a moment right here. And we're just going to come before the Lord. And we're just going to ask him, Lord, in what area of my life do I need to remain with you better? What area of my life? Okay? So just whatever you have in your hands, just put it aside. We're just going to come before the Lord and we're just going to practice asking this question. We all have 50 different areas and 50 different things, but what is it? What is it that God wants to begin to saturate you with in his love? What area of your life? So just take a moment right now. Just thank God for who he is. Thank him for how much he loves you. And then just ask the question, Lord, what area of my life do I need to work on remaining with you in? Go ahead right now, just on your own. If you don't feel like anything's coming forward, just continue to ask. Father, what aspect of my life do I need to allow your love to penetrate in my life? What way do I need to do a better job remaining with you? How many of you felt like something came forward for you? Just raise your hand. Okay. Is anybody willing to share some of those things? What are just some things that came forward? You just shout them out. Less TV. Okay. What's that? Listening. Yeah, good. What else? Amen. All right, Gwen. What else? What else did you guys hear?
Submission.
Submission. Yeah, good. What else? What's that? Your morning space. Good. What else? Your speech. Yeah, so good. So good. It's amazing if we just quiet ourselves and just ask. God is so faithful to speak to us. So there's if you go on in verse 17, John makes this absolutely radical statement that I'm not going to spend any time on whatsoever. But he essentially says that in this world, we are like Jesus. Speechless. It would take me a lifetime to figure out what he means by this. But I want you to, this is your homework, right? Work on this. Be like Jesus. I will share one insight with you. I was reading with my buddy, Rupert. We were reading together in the Greek this passage. And what's fascinating, and this is actually translated really well in the NIV. And we were talking about this, and it doesn't say to be like Jesus was. It says to be like he is, as in now, how he is now. So again, chew on that and see what you come up with and let me know. Verse 18, and this is what I want to kind of focus in on, and then we're going to go into a second time of prayer and asking the Lord. So in verse 18, this is what he says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So John shifts from love to fear, just like John did with the kids' message. Okay? Totally different Johns, by the way. Not related whatsoever. Separated by thousands of years. But he makes a statement. He talks about love, and he talks about how God is love, and then he goes into this idea that the key is remaining and hanging out with God. And then he says this statement. He says, there is no fear in love. The commandment that comes up more than any other commandment in all the scriptures. Anybody know what it is? Do not be afraid. That phrase appears 144 times, again, English translation, so for what it's worth. But that statement, in a variant of the statement, appears like over 360-something times. That's a lot of times, right? Why do you think God says to his people that many times, more than any other time, do not be afraid? Because he would know that fear would play a huge role in people's lives. He knew it. He knew us, and he had this understanding. And so he wanted to communicate to his people, hey, you don't need to be afraid. How many of you would say in some form, either small or big in your life, you wrestle with fear? Okay. All right. Good. We're all on the same page then. I appreciate your honesty. There's some profound things that he says in here. First, he says that there's no fear in love. Okay? And then he goes on to say, but perfect love drives out fear. That word that John uses there when it says drives out in the Greek is the same word that Jesus uses every time he casts demons out of people. It's the same word. Drive out, cast out, repel. Here's something that I think is helpful to understand when it comes to fear. There's probably 100 different types of fear, but I want to talk about two. I'm going to break fear into two categories, because there's a good aspect of fear. Category one, fear that keeps you alive. It's good. I encourage it. What does that mean? When you leave today, let's say you're walking home and you decide, I'm going to look both ways before I cross the street. It's what we teach our children, right? Why? Because I don't want to get hit by a car. That's wisdom. So That's like, there's an element in me, if we want to call it fear, that kind of fear keeps me alive. That's good. But that kind of fear keeps me alive so that I can continue to become who God wants me to be. Right? That's a good thing. Or a fear of, I'm in a parking lot and it's dark and I have to walk to my car and I'm looking around and I'm making sure that I'm being diligent about my surroundings. That kind of fear is a good kind of fear. Keeps us going. The other kind of fear is what John is talking about. John is saying, John's not saying, hey, feel free to cross any street anytime you want and don't worry about anything. That's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is, there is a fear that literally will oppress you. There's a fear that's almost like a seed, and when it's planted in your being and you give space to it, it begins to take as much space as you will give it. And that fear will begin to consume you and will begin to dictate how you see and you think. And that fear functions in the same way that the love of God functions in you. And so as you give it place and give it root, more and more becomes, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can believe that. So that type of fear displaces you from who God has created you to be. Do you see the difference between the two? Because then you begin to focus on that fear instead of the truth of who God is and who God has created you to be. And that fear actually begins to disable you and your ability to function as God created you to function. That's the fear that John is talking about. And he's saying that essentially that love, the love of God, the very presence of God, and the connection between that fear, because we all struggle with it, and our remaining in God. And as we remain in God, the love of God begins to permeate or saturate our being in the same way that tea does with this hot water. And when that happens, it literally drives that fear out of your body. Because this is something I made up last night. I was here working on this message. I'm going to call it spiritual physics. Okay? So in real physics, anybody study physics? Okay. In real physics, one of the laws of physics is that no two things can occupy the same space, right? We know that to be true. It's not possible. In spiritual physics, it's the same with love and fear. Any space that love is taken in you, fear cannot occupy. And any space that fear is taken in you, love cannot occupy. And so John is saying to the church, when you steep yourself in God, when you sit in that place, you hang out with the Lord, what begins to happen is the fear that's in you, and we all have it, begins to be not removed, but driven out, cast out, thrown out. And sometimes it needs to be cast out. And the invitation there is hey, this is possible. Because when we get to that point where we steep ourselves in fear and we go down that rabbit hole so far, we don't think, and this is what fear does to us, we don't think we have any option. We begin to say statements like, well, this is just what it is. Or I'm always going to be that way. When you find yourself saying those things, it's time to step back and say, well, wait a minute. That's not what God's word says about me. Listen to what Isaiah, God says in Isaiah chapter 51. Verse 12, it says this, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mere mortals, human beings who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your maker, who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth? Essentially what God is saying is, hey, remember, I'm your comforter. I'm the one who comes around you. I will hold you. I will sustain you. I will provide all your needs. And he says, who are you to fear? And then he goes on to say this, and I think this is mind-blowing. He's saying, essentially, you're afraid because you've forgotten who I am. And when you remind yourself of who I am and you put yourself in that place where you're remaining in the love of God, you remember, this is God. This is the maker. This is the one who made me. This is the maker of heaven. This is the maker of earth. And that God desires to restore you and to have you live out of a place of freedom, not out of a place of fear. That's the invitation that God has given us. That's what John is saying to the people here. And he's saying that, this love, this perfect love, which is whole and complete. And that's why Paul can say in Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything. This is why Jesus can say in Matthew 6, don't worry about your life. These things are, if you read these scriptures and you live on earth, these are should be really hard scriptures to read. They challenge us. Like, what do you mean, don't worry about my life? How do I don't even know how to do that. What do you mean, don't be anxious about anything? That's all I know how to be, because that's all I've been for so much of my life. And we have a God who's saying, I want to invite you into a place where you come hang out with me. And as you hang out with me, that fear begins to fade. The anxiety begins to fall off. And you can just, we're just going to be. And I'm going to remind you of who I am, and I'm going to speak to you the truth of who you are. And I'm going to empower you to come to a place where you're free of those things, those chains that bind you. It's this beautiful place. And again, this is like high-level Christianity here, but we're all invited into it. It's almost this like unitive connection that John is talking about when he's talking about remaining in God. And John talks about it in John 15 in his gospel where Jesus is saying, hey, I'm with the Father and the Father's with me. And you're invited to join in that interwoven connectedness. And John is saying here, hey, God is love and you're invited into that love. And when you step into that love, you're connected with God. And actually God is in you when that happens. And it's just like this intimate connection. And again, it's so mysterious to us because we don't live life this way. We don't understand how to do that. But we're also not taking the time to steep ourselves in that space either. At least I'm not. I need to work on it. There's a story I want to share with you, and then we're going to just go into this time of reflection and prayer. It's about a college student who shared with me about a story that they encountered. And it's a story that's mind-blowing, and I'm still sitting with it and processing it, but I so appreciate it. So the student was sharing with me that they were invited to a Bible study. And in that Bible study, they were newer on campus, and so they were excited to connect with students. And this person showed up in this tiny little prayer chapel. And by the time this person showed up to this tiny little prayer chapel, everybody was gone because they were late. This person struggles with punctuality. So they decided just to stay and pray and just be in this space. Nobody was there. It was quiet. It was dark out. It was a beautiful night. And so they just stayed in that space. And it was crazy. They were sharing with me that they, like over an hour had passed when this person had been in there praying, and it didn't seem like very long. But all of a sudden, this person shared with me that they came out of prayer, and they said they could just feel the presence of God in that space. That it was just like this weight that had come down, and they just felt so free and encouraged. And this is somebody who struggles with fear. And then at some point in this experience, this mystical experience that they shared with me, they said, I heard the Lord speak to me and say that there is no room in this space for anything right now but me. And this person said, I didn't want to leave that space because it was one of the most powerful encounters they'd ever had with God before. And that's available to us. It's available to all of us. If we have a relationship with the Lord, it's available to all of us. And God is inviting us into that. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to spend just a moment in prayer. We're going to come back to the Lord and we're going to ask. And Bridget's going to come up and just play quietly in the background. And we're going to ask the Lord around fear in our lives. You got a question, Gary?
John 1, what does it mean fear has to do with punishment?
Well, that's a great question. We're going to keep going and then we can talk about that. So we're just going to come before the Lord and we're just going to hold up. Okay? We're going to hold up our lives to him, especially around fear. Because this is something, this is, again, that type of fear that's debilitating, that's discouraging, that is directing our paths when it shouldn't, or we're making decisions out of it. And we're just going to ask the Lord to what aspect of our life that we've allowed fear into that we need to surrender to God. Okay? So let's just come before the Lord. I'll start us off in prayer. Then I'm going to just leave it between you and the Lord and see what God wants to say to you this morning around this fear. Okay, he's already begun to speak to us around love, and we're going to ask him to speak to us around fear. So, Father, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are love and that you want to make yourself known. So, Lord, I ask that you would just, we invite you into this space right now. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak to your people? Would you reveal to them areas of their life they've been caught in fear, that they need to surrender to you, that they need to give over to you? So right now, between you and the Lord, I just want to invite you, just quietly, just to ask God. Holy Spirit, would you reveal the place in my life where I have given fear space to remain instead of your love? Holy Spirit, would you reveal the places in my life where I have given fear space to remain instead of your love? Just sit with that question and just hold it up to the Lord. Where have I given fear space in my life instead of your love?
Thanks for listening. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we're doing, email us at office@washingtonchurch.org or go to our website, washingtonchurch.org.